The date was 2002. The place was Partridge, Kansas. A gentleman by the name of Robert Askew was physically handicapped. He had spasms. He was confined to a wheelchair. His speech was slurred so that he was difficult to understand. But he was a student at a university, and highly admired and appreciated because of his great attitude. He couldn't pull himself forward in his wheelchair, so if no one was around to push him, he would use his feet and push backwards, looking over his shoulder. And one day, Robert was pushing himself backwards, and he came close to the edge of the stairs and didn't realize it. He was closer than he thought, and before he realized it, he went down the stairwell. Books went one way, crashing wheelchair. His wheelchair just kept rolling down the hall because it landed on its wheels. He was lying on the ground and sprawled out on the floor, thankfully unhurt. Several concerned students rushed over to help him. And from his rather undignified position, he looked up, laughed out loud, and said, "Let me teach you how to dance." Robert was a Christian and he wanted to share the message of Christ with others. And so one Sunday he spoke to an audience of over 1,000 at his church. He struggled to speak clearly and many struggled to understand what he was saying. But on that Sunday, no one missed the message of the love of God that he communicated. He eventually realized his calling in life was to share the message of Christ. And so he went with a group of missionaries overseas. He had them put posters on the sides of his wheelchairs and park him on the side of the road on a downtown street corner. And he sat there all day handing out gospel tracts and talking to people as much as he could. Because in spite of all of the things that we can look at and go, "Look at all what is wrong. All of the limitations, all of the difficulties, all of the things that are stacked against him," so to speak. We can say that Robert was an overcomer in spite of the circumstances of his life because he had victory in Jesus. And today we're going to finish up our summer series on the promises of God. And I want us to look at a wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, this might be my favorite passage in Romans 8. I don't know, there are a couple others. But this one, it just is such a wonderful passage. And it shows that we have a great victory in Jesus as we are more than conquerors. It says this: "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Now, we're going to learn a Greek word here today, folks. The Greek word here is hupernikao. Can you guys say that? Hupernikao. If you need to go slower, it's hu, per, ni, kao. Hupernikao. It's an amazing Greek word which means to gain a surpassing victory, to utterly defeat the enemy, to be overwhelmingly victorious, to rule over and dominate the enemy. Now that's a great word. The word is a compound word which literally translates into hyper-conquerors. We are preeminently victorious, folks. We are not just conquerors. We are not just Nikau. We are much more. We are super conquerors. We are hyper conquerors. We are hupernikao. Do you guys get it? Does it make you excited? Now, this may come as a revelation to many Christians, but we are not supposed to be punching bags for the devil. This is not what God called us to be. He called us to be conquerors, and we are to walk in victory over our adversaries. Many Christians pray and ask God to please take away the problems of life. They just don't realize that God has equipped us to do it. We are to walk in the victory that has been bought for us. The Word of God has a lot to say about this, and it's not just in the New Testament. This is a reoccurring theme throughout the whole Bible. It started in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says this, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. You see, God told Adam to subdue and also to have dominion over all the earth. Adam was given this great authority. He had the legal right to this planet. Yet, he gave it up. He gave it over to Satan. It wasn't until the second Adam, Jesus Christ, that we were able to receive it back, to receive what was originally given to the first Adam. This authority was legally purchased back and given to us. You see, thousands of years after Adam, Jesus came. But before he started his earthly ministry, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. Now, Matthew and Mark and Luke all have accounts of this. And Jesus had to go through real temptation and overcome many things before he could start his ministry here on earth. And we have got to understand that Jesus had choices to make, or it would never have been a real temptation. He had to make those hard choices. Be out there for 40 days, starving. And the devil says, here's some food. And he says, no, God alone. We have to understand that he made those choices. He truly was tempted. And the first thing that Jesus did was to submit to God. And he went and was baptized because his father wanted him to. And at this time, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit to do service. And the second thing he did was to make a declaration of his mission. And he declared why he was sent. I'm going to read that in Luke chapter 4, where it says, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, folks, Jesus was sent by God the Father to heal broken hearts, to deliver the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to liberate the oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus made it plain. This is what he came to do. To free us. To liberate us. He came to restore what was taken. He was called to conquer. Folks, has he changed even a little bit? No. He has not. However, Satan is still the God of this world. God hasn't changed. He has conquered. But Satan still mucks things up right royally, doesn't he? And Jesus gave us instructions before he left. In Matthew 28, he said these words. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, all authority in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus. And what does he do? He, with that authority, tells us to go. Jesus has commissioned us to carry on the work in his name. He transferred his authority to us through his ultimate authority over everything. He says, "You guys go." He called us to conquer. Jesus has restored the authority that Adam lost in the garden. But many believers are ignorant of the authority that they truly have, because we need to learn to walk in this authority by exercising our faith in the Word of God. J. Vernon McGee said this, "Religion says no and has taught us to be mealybug Christians, just barely getting along. However, that is not what God's Word says." See, Jesus told his disciples to go. However, before they could go, they were told, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Just as Jesus had to have God's anointing, so he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave that to his disciples to carry out his commission. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit before they could begin to carry out God's great commission, didn't they? But as we step out in faith and go, we will also grow in the grace and the knowledge, because the moment, folks, that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. He lives within us. But so many of us as believers don't want to admit it. Yeah, he's there, but it's kind of like owning a Lamborghini and sitting in the seat and grabbing onto that steering wheel, pushing on the gas pedal, but we've never touched the ignition. We didn't turn on the engine. We can pump that gas all we want and do nothing. But the Holy Spirit is that ignition to turn it on and hear that engine roar and go out and conquer for God. Folks, the enemy is still here and very real. This is the thing about being a conqueror. You're not a conqueror if you don't have an enemy to conquer. We need to stand in the authority that Jesus purchased back legally for us and do something about the problem. Jesus dealt with problems every step of the way. He fought devils and sickness every step of the way. He was sent to do something about these things. He was sent to conquer these things. He was here to destroy the works of Satan. 1 John chapter 3 says, "The devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works." And this is the whole purpose of being a conqueror, to destroy the works of the devil, to overcome every adversary, every scheme that he throws our way. This is not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of the whole world. This is a message that we carry. We have been given the message of reconciliation to God. And it's our job to share that. To share this incredibly good news with the world. Now, just to be clear here, we are not talking about conquering lands. We're not talking about heading down to the States and conquering them. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about conquering physical and spiritual oppression of the enemy. And if there were no enemy there, we would not be conquerors. We would have nothing to conquer. We would actually just be inhabitors. But we have been called to walk as children of God and to walk in the authority that Jesus has given us. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever stopped to consider the reason for us being called conquerors? Jesus has already defeated Satan, yet he is still in this world and he still has power. However, his authority has been taken away. He no longer has the authority to use that power. We are the spiritual police that have been placed here to enforce God's plan for the earth. But we're not doing a great job, are we? Luke chapter 10 says this. He replied and said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We're not supposed to go around and flaunt the authority that God has given us. We're not supposed to rejoice when we overcome the devil because we overcame the devil, because it was through the power of the Spirit. We are to rejoice that our names are in heaven. You see, authority means from the meaning of leave or permission or liberty of doing as one pleases. It's passed out to the ability or strength to which one is endured. And to that we can add the power of authority, the right to exercise power, the power to rule, the power of one who will command and must be obeyed by others. That which is subject to authority or rule, one who possesses authority, a ruler, a magistrate. You guys all understand these things, right? In other words, Jesus said, we were given the right to command and exercise power over the enemy. He has given us this authority. And we were given very specific authority for a purpose. And without the authority to use God's power, we would fail in our mission here. God has not called us to fail. He has called us as conquerors. So let's go back to Romans chapter 8, this wonderful passage. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to learn, as the children of Israel did, to put our trust in Him. As conquerors, we have come to the place where we put our total trust in God, or we will never conquer anything that God intended for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just part of it. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. See, God is faithful, and we must praise Him in every circumstance of life, not for every circumstance, but praise Him in all circumstances. He is sufficient to meet our every need, regardless of what's thrown our way. The children of Israel wouldn't put away their slave mentality when they left Egypt. In moments they would place their trust in God, and then in other moments they wouldn't. But He can be trusted. We need to trust Him. because He is always faithful. Lift up your eyes. Serve God, the one true God who is more sufficient in every circumstance of life. Now the phrase victory in Jesus, it's an exciting topic to explore. And I know that we've just kind of scratched the surface, but just saying those words should bring joy to your heart. So as a believer, what victory do we have in Jesus? And there are so many areas of our lives that we have victory in Jesus, but first and foremost is victory over sin. None of us deserves forgiveness. But that's the amazing thing about grace. See, God loves us so much that He willingly took our sins to Calvary and nailed them to the cross. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us. I'm a sinner, folks. Guess what? So are you. But He bore the burdens of my sin that day. My sin and yours. So that we have victory in Jesus through the blood that He shed on the cross. Jesus is waiting and He is willing to forgive you of your sins. And it's something that we need to do on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, is to ask for forgiveness. But it doesn't stop there. Not only does He stand ready to forgive, He also forgets your sins. He graciously wipes the slate clean, transforms your heart and your mind, and gives you the Holy Spirit to guide you. Thankfully, we have victory in Jesus, and that includes victory over death. Victory over life's challenges. Jesus was not defeated that day at Calvary. Satan had his moment of gloating, only to be defeated the moment Jesus rose out of that tomb. Death was not the end, but only the beginning of what would be the most glorious victory of all. John 11:25 says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." You see, as believers, we don't have to be afraid of death. We know that we have an eternal home in heaven with the Savior. He has gone to prepare a place for us. His promises are true and eternal. We learned about that last week and over the summer. We also have victory in Jesus as we experience peace and joy in the midst of our trials and difficulties that will come our way. John 16 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Eugene Monroe Bartlett, Sr., wrote the words to a hymn entitled "Victory in Jesus." Some of you may know it. This was the last hymn that he wrote in 1939. And the words remind us that we can experience victory in Jesus every day of our lives. If you're not familiar with the song, it goes something like this. "I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I've heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, 'Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit.' And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He sought you. And he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. And all my love is due to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. We have all sinned, and we deserve God's judgment. But God the Father sent his only Son to satisfy that judgment for those who believe in him. Jesus, the Creator, the eternal Son of God, who lived a sinless life, loves us so much that he died for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve. He was buried and rose from the dead. And if you truly believe and trust in your heart, receiving Jesus alone as your Savior, declaring Jesus is Lord, you will be saved from judgment, spend eternity with God in heaven, and be able to claim victory in Jesus. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your grace. We are thankful that you sent your Son and that he willingly came and died upon the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. We are so grateful that in you, as our Lord and Savior, we have the victory. That we are huper nikao, that we are more than conquerors. That you have given us the surpassing victory, that the devil is utterly defeated. That we are overwhelmingly, exceedingly victorious in you. We thank you for this. We are so grateful. And words can't express it enough. How much we love you. And so, Father, we pray that you would stamp upon our hearts the boldness that we need, the humility that we need, the gentleness, the love, the patience that we need to share your incredible good news. That we can once again be restored in relationship with you. That we can have that victory that you have promised in your scriptures. So, Father, give us that boldness today, we pray. Amen.